time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Yay! How are you all doing this morning? Doing all right? Well, the other Meredith, I heard, couldn't be here today, but she's brought the bag, or you've brought the bag, and she put something in it, I assume. Is that correct? You did. Oh, okay. Wonderful. Oh. Well, we have a flower. Is it just the flower? And what kind of flower is this? But yeah, I know it's a fake flower. Do you know what kind of flower it's supposed to be? Well, it's very colorful, right? Very beautiful. What color is it? Orange and red, that's right. You know, we are told in Scripture not to worry about anything. And you know why? Because God's going to take care of everything that we need, and He's going to meet our needs. He says, don't worry about food. Any of you all worry about food? I do sometimes. I worry that Abby won't make enough. And she's not here, so I can say that. And he says not to worry about what you'll wear, about your clothes. And he says, the lilies of the field, all of the flowers, look at how I have adorned them, and look at how I have made them beautiful. And if I care so much for the flowers, won't I also care and provide for your needs as well, right? And so today I want us to be reminded that God cares for us. And when we've got our clothes and our food and shelter, that's part of God's way of showing us how much He loves us. All right? So let's always remember that. Here you are. And who would you like? Who has not had the bag yet that would like the bag? Are you raising your hand? Would you like? Here you go. Now, let's remember the rules of the bag. So when you bring it back next week, can't be alive, can't used to be alive. And if I don't know what it is, you have to tell me what it is, all right? All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for how much you take care of us and how much you provide for our needs each and every day. And we pray that you would help us to share that message with others. Lord, we thank you for these kids and for the opportunity we have to teach them and to learn from them as well. And we pray that you continue to bless them and help them to grow into the men and women that you have called them to be. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. What?
I was sick one day on school day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I lied.
Oh.
Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's actually verses 1 through 11, even though it said 1 through 10 on the bulletin, so 1 through 11, chapter 12. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were often misled by false gods that can't even speak. So I want to make it clear to you that no one says Jesus is cursed when speaking by God's Spirit. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries, and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person. A word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit. Faith to still another by the same Spirit. Gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit. Performance of miracles to another. Prophecy to another. The ability to tell spirits apart to another. Different kinds of tongues to another. and the interpretation of the tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each person. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Susie. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious God, again we come to you so very grateful for all that you have given to us. For the reading and the hearing of this, your word today, we are ever grateful. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be your words and not my words. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be obedient and faithful to your call upon us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. The last several weeks, as you know, we've been looking at stewardship, and we've been focusing primarily on the covenant we make when we join the church, participating in the life of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and today we're considering our service. Last week, as I spoke about gifts, I spoke primarily about financial gifts, and so today we want to talk about service and about those other gifts that we have, the gifts that are from the Spirit. And you'll notice that our prayers, presence, gifts, and service continue to build on each other, and next week we will look at witness and kind of how it ties all of these together. Through prayer, we know that we enter into God's presence. As a result, we give to God of and from our resources, and we serve Him and others with the gifts that we have been given. Service is kind of a natural response to God. We don't serve as those who are trying to please and receive salvation from God. We serve as those who are grateful for what God has given to us by way of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Our service should be that of grateful thanksgiving to God, not a way to earn our place in heaven. Paul points out, however, that we are far more ignorant about our gifts and services than we should be. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Does anyone here like to be ignorant? No, it's no fun, right? When everyone seems to know something that you don't know. Paul wants to help make things clear. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about our gifts. He wants to make things clear. And he gives kind of a litmus test right off the bat. And I want to try this with us this morning. I'd like you to repeat after me. Jesus is Lord. If you were able to say that this morning, pat yourself on the back because you have the Holy Spirit. Because as Paul plainly says, we cannot say this unless it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to do it. And if you were able to say that this morning, again, as that means the Holy Spirit is in you, that means that you have gifts that have been given to you. You have areas of service that you can fulfill. I tricked you. So now you have no excuse but to serve. We cannot say this without the Holy Spirit. And today as we gather, we need to be reminded that all service starts with acknowledging our Lord. All service starts with Jesus is Lord. Without acknowledging that, we cannot do service as Christ would have us to do. And he says that there are different types of service, different areas of giftedness. But there is the same Spirit, there is the same Lord, there is the same God. And what's interesting is he almost kind of works in reverse order as he's writing this. Because we know from Scripture that God the Father we recognize first as the Creator. And then we are introduced to Jesus Christ later. And then in Acts we are introduced to the Spirit. And here he works backwards from the Spirit. And he says, there are many spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many ministries to participate in and the same Lord, Jesus the Son. And there are many other things that we are gifted with but the same God, the same Father. It all emanates from Spirit, Lord, and God, who is the same God in three distinct persons. And it's God that chooses what gifts we get in verse 12. And that's where the rub comes in, because all of us want to have, well, I want the gifts that that person has. Has anyone ever been, we just went to a birthday party yesterday for our little nephew, Emmett, who turned one. And the thing that boggles my mind still to this day is that in order to give Emmett gifts, we have to give gifts to all of the kids. Because we don't want anyone to be left out, right? We want everyone to receive something. Because if we just gave something to the one kid, all the other kids would be, what about me? It's like a participation trophy. What about me? I participated. I showed up. And that's how we are. If we see that one person has something, we want that same thing. And we need to be reminded this morning that it is the Spirit that gives these gifts. And the Spirit decides who gets what. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to whatever we think it's up to other than God. He is the one who gives. And so we do best to get what we get and not throw a fit. Anyone ever heard that phrase before? Abby says that to me all the time. I still don't know why. Acknowledging God, acknowledging our Lord is the first step. It's this area of worship that we participate in here today. And acknowledging God as Lord, if that is the first step, that means there is some things we need to be reminded of today. The great commandments to love God and love our neighbors precedes the Great Commission. A few days ago, or a few weeks ago in our Bible study, I asked, what's more important, the Great Commandment or the Great Commission? And most everyone was quick to say the Great Commission is better. And the Great Commission is great, hence the name, but if we do not have the Great Commandment, if we are not loving God, if we are not loving neighbors, then we're not going to make disciples, are we? Certainly not of Jesus Christ. While they are both important, they must be done in the right order, and service must always be the response of acknowledging God and worshiping God. We often like to put the cart before the horse. We cannot make disciples without acknowledging God first, and there has been a lot of time and a lot of energy wasted on trying to make disciples before properly loving God. Has anyone ever been frustrated in ministry before? Anybody ever been frustrated in service? It may possibly be because you're spending the majority of your time on the Great Commission and you've not spent enough time in the Great Commandment. It may be because you've spent far too much time trying to figure out how to do something rather than spending that time worshiping and thanking God and praising God and being with God. Just a thought. It may just be because you shouldn't have done it, but that's a whole other sermon altogether. We waste a lot of energy trying to do this, putting the cart before the horse, and we need to be mindful this morning that energy does not equate to power. Energy and power are two very different things. Joel has a lot of energy, but he doesn't have a lot of power. The church has a lot of energy. But do we have a lot of power? The authority and the power that God has given us in Jesus Christ to bind and to loose those things in heaven and on earth. Energy that is not properly channeled is of very little use. It is power that is the result of channeled energy. We may be doing a lot of great things as a church. We may have a lot of energy around those things, but are we powerful in what we're doing? Are disciples being made in what we are doing? You see, there's a big difference. The batteries that I have in this little mic, that's channeled energy, powering this so you can hear me and be frustrated with things that I'm saying. making disciples without loving God or loving others is basically an attempt to make disciples like me. If you're trying to make a disciple without loving God, in essence, what you're doing is you're judging somebody. You really shouldn't do that. You should be more like me. Now, if I asked for a show of hands of how many people have said this out loud, probably nobody would raise their hands. But if I asked you to raise your hands if you've ever thought this, our energy would turn to power very quickly, and we may have revival breakout. Powerless energy leads to nothing but frustration. Nothing but frustration on the part of everyone. However, when we love God and others and we make that our primary focus, we have then the power to make disciples. Because we are not trying to make people like us, but we are trying to make people like Christ. And we're able to do that because we know what Christ looks like. Because we've spent time with Him. Because we've focused our energies on Him. There are a variety of gifts and a variety of services present here today because you have brought those with you. And there is one Lord who has given them to us, who has given them to you. It's our ignorance that keeps our energy from becoming power. A few years ago, I came home from working out at the Y. This was when I was in Hopkinsville. This doesn't just happen, people. I have to work on this. Stop laughing. That hurts my feelings. I came home from the Y, and my back started to kind of bother me a little. I was hurting a little right around this area. And so I thought maybe I pulled something lifting all those big heavy weights. And so I started to do some stretches, and I noticed that the pain was intensifying exponentially. And it was getting pretty rough. And I stood up to try to do something, and I couldn't really get much higher than this. And I thought, well, that's not good. So I grabbed my keys, and it took a while. I was going to there. And then I got in the car, which, of course, is the most appropriate thing to do when you're in that kind of pain. And I drove to the hospital. And I walked into the emergency room there, and there was a lady at the front desk, and I walked up to her, and I came over here, and I said, I need some help. And she said, what's wrong? And I said, I'm dying. And she said, here, fill this out. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'm thinking, you are so desensitized, you should not be here. I need a compassionate person here. So I got a pen, and I was trying to write it and trying to hold it, and it was rough. And she said, it sounds like you got a kidney stone. I said, well, that's great. Thanks for telling me that. Now get me back there and dope me up with something to take this pain away. And it turns out, yes, I did have a kidney stone. And when I finally got back to where the doctors and the nurses are in their little holy huddle, it's not in the waiting room. When I finally got back there after much time of prayer, The nurses and the doctors knew exactly what needed to be done, and they just did it. And they just started doing what they do and started doing all of these things. And it was wonderful, and it was great, and things got better. But this experience taught me some things about service that I really, as I've been reflecting this week and been thinking about it, I've really just kind of, I knew they were there, I knew they were happening, but it really kind of came to light for me this week. And so these are some things I want us to think about today as we think about what service looks like. The first thing that this experience taught me is that service is an enormous task that takes a team of people. The first encounter was with the administrative person there doing that, and then there were the nurses and the doctors and the anesthesiologists and, you know, everybody walking around, the insurance person. That was such a fun conversation. Take my wallet, take it all, just make me better. And so there are all these people, and they've all got these specific tasks, and they're all doing these tasks, and it takes an enormous amount of people to do service and to do justice to those that are in need of service. The bottom line is that we need each other. And it's unfortunate that as American Christians, we tend to overemphasize our independence. I'm independent. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm very dependent. I'm dependent on my wife and my children. I'm dependent on you. I'm dependent on God. I need other people because I am a relational person. All of us were created to be relational people because we were created by a relational God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need each other this morning. We are the body of Christ. And if we are going to serve Elkton, if we are going to serve Todd County, if we are going to serve around the world, we need to recognize the enormity of the task and figure out how to do that together. The second thing I learned is that these people are not ignorant. Now, I didn't see this at the time because I was in a lot of pain. Hurry up, people. What could be more important than me at this moment, right? Has anyone ever felt that way? They were not ignorant. They knew what their task was, and they did it. I'll never forget the nurse came in to start the IV, and I looked at her in all seriousness, and I said, you have two chances to get this IV in, or I'm calling somebody else in. You are no longer practicing medicine. It's game time. There's going to be no digging around. There's going to be no double poking. You have one shot here and one shot here. If you can't do it, call someone who can. I don't care. Bring my mom in here. I don't care who it is. And to her very great credit, she got it right on the first. She kind of came at me like this. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. You know, but she got it, and she ran it in. And, oh, medicine. There's just something about those colors that you see when you're on morphine or whatever it is. It's just beautiful. They knew what their task was, and they did it, and they did it well. And that leads me to the third aspect of service, is that these people are constantly practicing what they're supposed to do so that when the time comes, they are able to do it. And so I ask us this morning, are we practicing Christians? Are we reading Scripture on a regular basis so that when someone comes to us with a need, we can help them along the way? Are we constantly in prayer? Are we fasting? Are we spending time in corporate worship? Are we doing these things so that when the time comes, we will be ready? Well, preacher, that's your job. Nope. No, it's not. Not at all. Paul lays it out quite plainly here. That's the task of all of us, to be ready. Jesus tells us to be ready in season and out of season. They're constantly practicing, and are we constantly practicing our faith? The fourth thing that I learned is that they only did what they could do. Now, this seems obvious, or maybe it even seems a little like, well, duh, but this is very important. Because we need to recognize this morning, as we are seeking to serve and seeking to use our spiritual gifts, that we can only do what we can do. Again, if we're surrounding ourselves with a team, if we're surrounding ourselves with others who have those other complementary gifts, then ours is to focus on what we are currently doing. At some point, the patient has to take ownership of what's going on and seek to do what he or she can do. I was told that I'm not supposed to drink Cokes or things that I can't see through, because that's what the kidney stone was made up of. So it's on me to start doing that, right? Drinking some cranberry juice and a few other things that can kind of help break that stuff up, right? There's got to be a point where I have to take ownership of it. And as those who seek to serve, we have to remind ourselves and often restrain ourselves to only doing what we have been called to do. Because if we don't, we then cross that line into enabling, right? And then there's no help to anyone else. And sometimes things simply have to work themselves out. Case in point, it took me 17 days to pass this kidney stone. By the end, I was on a trip. We took the youth group to Paoli Peaks to ski. I didn't get past the bathroom there. because the pain just started coming, and I started chugging water just like crazy to get this kidney stone passed. And it finally passed. And, oh, praise the Lord. And what was interesting about a kidney stone is the pain starts immediately, but it also ends immediately. And so many of these people that we have the opportunity to minister to, their pain has started, and the pain can almost leave immediately if we allow God to be doing what God is doing through us. We see time and again when Jesus is healing people that they're healed immediately. The pain is gone, and they're able to now live their new life in Christ. That doesn't happen all the time, but it can and does happen some of the time. And then the most important thing I think I learned is that everything nurses and doctors do is for the good of others. Paul tells us here in verse 7 that we have been given gifts for the common good. How helpful would it be if the doctors and the nurses knew what to do but didn't do anything about it? I'd probably still have that kidney stone, right? How helpful would it be? The passage we read today, if you see someone in need but you don't do anything about it, how useful have you been? And I have to ask us this morning, where have we felt God calling us to go, but we have refused to go for one reason or another? And because we have refused to go, healing has not taken place in the lives of those we could come alongside. Where have we dropped the ball? Where have we hoarded up our gifts instead of using it for the common good? Because it really does us no good if we keep it to ourselves. Last week, if you'll remember, I dared you to fill out one of these little cards to be praying about how you might help us in the ministries of Petrie through your financial resources. And today I want to dare you as well to take some time to look at this other insert that you have, our commitment of service and witness to love God and others, and to take time to genuinely pray and think about areas where you can serve. Areas you feel God is calling you to serve. I don't care if somebody's already doing it. Check it off. If it's something you feel you can do, there's an opportunity to write down. If we haven't put something down on here that you're good at, write it on here. And please don't forget your name. Don't just fill this out and don't put your name on there, because that does us no good. Because then we'll have to try to figure out who did it. Who filled it out. But I want to challenge you this morning to really think about how you can use the gifts that you have been given to serve Petrie, to serve Elkton, to serve Todd County, so that others may come to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Help us to channel the energies that we may have so that we can be conduits of God's powerful love and grace in Elkton, Kentucky, and around the world. And inevitably, somebody's going to come up to me and say, "Pastor, I don't have any gifts." Please fight the urge to do that, because then you're on my radar. And I will find an area for you to serve. I will find a place where I feel your gifts can best be used. So it's best if you put it down there. This is where I think most equipped to serve. And we may then begin to channel the energies that we have, because there is a very great energy here. We have a lot of gifts and talents at our disposal. And I ask you to help me and to help our council and to help the rest of our leadership to figure out how to properly channel those energies so that we can be a powerful force here, so that we might be the best church for Todd County, that we might serve others, that we might serve God, and that we might help others again to know Jesus is Lord. Gracious God, we thank you so very much for this day that you have given to us. Indeed, it is a day that we are blessed to have. We thank you for the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the skills that are represented in this place. And we pray that you would show us how best to use those, that you would show us how we are to steward those gifts that you have given to us so that others may come to know you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.